NASA's funding won't take us to the moon or Mars. Christopher Hart is back on the NTSB. And is the FAA building airports to nowhere? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 14th, 2009. NASA's Constellation manned space program may have hit a wall. An advisory group headed by former Lockheed Martin chairman Norman Augustine has examined the goals, looked at the projected budgets, and concluded you can't get there from here. The Wall Street Journal reports that the Augustine Commission, after wrapping up its final public meeting on Wednesday, is expected to issue a final report calling manned missions to the moon and Mars unsustainable given projected NASA budget levels. The report is also expected to present an array of options, among which will be diverting funding to upgrade legacy missile rockets to carry crews into space, and an increased reliance on quickly evolving commercial space operations. Former astronaut Sally Ride, while a proponent of using commercial flights to shuttle crews to low Earth orbit, says we have to move carefully before risking the loss of NASA's industrial base. Quote, we shouldn't underestimate the magnitude of the repercussions, unquote. Christopher Hart, nominated by President Obama a few weeks ago, was sworn in Wednesday as the newest member of the National Transportation Safety Board. Kind of. I add the qualifier because he was a member of the board from 1990 through 93. In between, he's been Deputy Director for Air Traffic Safety Oversight and Assistant Administrator for the Office of System Safety at the FAA and Deputy Administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Hart is also a licensed pilot with commercial, multi-engine, and instrument ratings. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Office of Inspector General is accusing the FAA of, to adapt a catchphrase from another recent controversy, airports to nowhere. The OIG says the FAA has not followed all federal guidelines when awarding stimulus grants to airports, and that some of the projects ranked lower on a priority list than others which had not been funded. It recommends that FAA stop awarding grants to lower-ranked projects until it can demonstrate their economic merit. By way of example, the report cites an FAA award of $13.9 million to Akiachak, Alaska, population 659, to replace its airport. The town currently has a seaplane base, an airfield with a gravel runway, and is within 7 miles of two other airfields. The current airport sees an average of 57 flights per week. Another grant of $14.7 million would pay for replacement of the airport at Uzinki, Alaska, population 167, which sees only 42 flights a month. Both Alaska projects were ranked 40th on an official priority list. The FAA responds that it followed all the rules and points out that these were stimulus funds targeting shovel-ready projects. Quote, further, it is an overstatement to suggest that funding safety-compliant airstrips to ensure the native Alaskan citizens of Alaska have access to services such as emergency medical assistance falls into the category of imprudent projects discussed in the President's Memorandum of March 20, 2009, such as casinos, zoos, or golf courses, which are clearly outside the scope and intent of the Recovery Act, unquote. I, for one, will be shocked if any of this stimulus money turns out to have been wasted. Up next on ANN, Vans releases the final subkit for the RV-12. Centurion names its 30th distributor. And the U.S. Navy helps demonstrate a new biofuel technology. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 14th. I'm Paul Plack. Vans Aircraft has announced release of the final section of the RV-12 Experimental Light Sport Aircraft Kit. The Rotax 912 ULS Power Plant Kit includes the ground-adjustable prop and all the necessary installation components and is priced at just under $25,000. Added to the previously released subkits, that works out to $59,335 for the entire airplane, including a Dynon-based avionics package, everything but the paint. Like most other Vans models, the RV-12 is designed with near-neutral stability for sporty handling, while meeting LSA specs. Unlike other RVs, the 12 has sailplane-inspired removable wings for easy transport by trailer or storage in your garage. And unlike most LSAs, the finished aircraft fits under the 1,320-pound gross limit, with enough to spare that it can carry a pair of modern 210-pound humans, 20 gallons of fuel, and 50 pounds of baggage, all at the same time. Centurion, the purveyor of the rebranded T-Alert aerodiesel engine line, has announced that Near East Aviation has become the 30th distributor for the engines and will serve Turkey, Jordan, Israel, Yemen, Iraq, Lebanon, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Oman, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates. Centurion Chairman Jasper Wolfson noted, quote, "The market for general aviation in the Near East is extremely dynamic. We are excellently positioned with our certifications and such a strong sales partner," unquote. Near East Aviation's parent company also owns flight schools, Ayla Aviation in Jordan and Atlantic Flight Training in Coventry, Great Britain, and both have been providing training on airplanes with Centurion engines. Alternative fuel technology continues its march forward. A collaborative effort by the U.S. Navy, Biodiesel Industries Incorporated, and Aerojet claims it has successfully demonstrated methods to produce cleaner and more reliable sources of renewable fuels for military use. Of course, with the military involved, there must be an acronym. ARES stands for Automated Real-Time Remote Integrated Energy System. It's a highly automated, portable biodiesel production unit that can be controlled from a remote location, allowing reliable process control and optimal production yields in a system that can be readily and widely deployed. The goal is to solve issues including the integration of biofuel feedstocks that can vary regionally and avoiding competition with food crops. Both can be done, but doing them in a small-scale process has been daunting. ARES allows one data and process control center the potential to remotely operate hundreds of scalable facilities integrated with next-generation feedstock cultivation, producing millions of gallons of biofuel per year. The U.S. Department of Defense is the world's largest user of diesel fuel. Still ahead, the U.S. Air Force picks a home for its new cyber ops unit. U.S. Airways and Delta swap some landing slots. And Continental's CEO tries to apologize for a tarmac stranding. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 14th. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Air Force announced yesterday that Lackland Air Force Base in Texas has been selected as the permanent location for the 24th Air Force Headquarters, a numbered Air Force designed to conduct cyber operations activities. Major General Richard Weber, who will assume command of the 24th Air Force later this month, commented, quote, "The stand-up of this NAF will provide clear lines of authority and responsibility dedicated to cyber operations," unquote. The other location, which had been on a short list of two, was Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado. The selection of Lackland follows completion of an environmental impact analysis required by the National Environmental Policy Act. U.S. Airways and Delta announced a transaction this week that expands U.S. Airways service at Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport in the nation's capital and gives U.S. Airways access to key international business centers. U.S. Airways will obtain 42 pairs of Delta slots in Washington and acquire the right to expand to Tokyo, Japan, and Sao Paulo, Brazil. Simultaneously, U.S. Airways will transfer 125 pairs of its slots to Delta at New York's LaGuardia Airport. One slot equals one takeoff or landing, so one pair of slots equals one round-trip flight. U.S. Airways stresses it's not abandoning LaGuardia and will accommodate the swap by giving up slots used there by U.S. Airways Express. That will mean cutting 26 express destinations and about 300 employees at LaGuardia, but U.S. Airways stresses that its popular U.S. Airways shuttle service, with hourly flights from New York to Boston and Washington, will continue. On its side, Delta expects to more than double the number of nonstop destinations it serves from LaGuardia. Once the transaction's approved, Delta plans to begin a nearly $40 million construction project at LaGuardia, which should be complete sometime next year. After announcing a $2 billion loss in the second quarter and predicting a revenue recovery is not imminent, Delta had said it would be making some changes. Also announced this week was a suspension of Delta's nonstop from Salt Lake to Tokyo until at least May of 2010. That one blamed on sluggish demand. And finally, as Continental Airlines' regional partner ExpressJet moved this week to blame everyone but the Tooth Fairy for last week's 7-hour tarmac stranding at Rochester, Minnesota, drawing a terse response from the TSA and a legal investigation by DOT, Continental CEO Larry Kellner yesterday tried to apologize to customers. In reply to a USA Today editorial calling for federal action, Kellner wrote in part, quote, "I personally apologize to those customers. Continental takes responsibility for the care of our customers, whether they are on our regional partners' flights or our own. Our contracts require our regional partners, such as ExpressJet, to follow our standards for customer service. One of those standards is to allow customers experiencing delays of 3 hours or more the opportunity to get off the plane, if they may do so safely, and if departure is not expected to occur within a reasonable time under the circumstances. We fully recognize that the outcome was unacceptable. Continental and its regional airline partners are highly focused on this issue, and we remain strongly committed to resolving it," unquote. Kellner's full statement was posted on blogs.usatoday.com. Judging by the livid comments posted in response, I don't think anybody bought it. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in our final excerpt from Randy Babbitt's Meet the Administrator forum at Oshkosh, he answers questions about airline pilot work rules, user fees, and whether private pilots should be required to have FAA medicals. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.